And I understand that, like, if I have people who can support me, help me go further and faster, I don't understand why every person on the planet doesn't have support and coaching and mentorship and, doing things for you. Like, to me, it's like part of who I am now.
Hey, it's your host, Brittany, and welcome to the Mom Sweat Sanity podcast, where we talk all things life, health, fitness, kids, relationships, you name it, nothing is off the table. A little bit of just me and a whole lot of knowledgeable guests. So throw on your Lulus to run or to mom, grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, and join us as we unpack life's pressing topics and learn a little bit more of the who, what, whys of it all. Or at the very least, get real, share some wisdom, and grab practical tips to help in our daily lives. Thank you, Christina, for being here today. Christina is my amazing coach and confidence coach extraordinaire, and she is here today to talk all the things. So I am going to throw it to you for a little bit of who you are and what you're all about.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so grateful, so excited. It's been, a beautiful blessing to get to know you. I'm seeing all the things that you've done in the short time that we've been together and all the clients that you're helping. So super, super grateful. Thank you for asking me. Who am I? What do I do? Don't you guys hate that? I hate that so much, but I am Christina LaCure. I go by Be Christina on social media. I am a confidence and success coach. What I ultimately think I help you do is live in your purpose and make a profit. I'm just extremely passionate about helping people really decide it's their turn for anything in life. You know, one of the biggest things in my life that kind of held me back for 26, 27 years was not really living that fully and worrying about external, everyone's opinion about what you should be doing and, how you should be doing it and why you should be doing it. And I think the thing that has allowed me to live what I now believe is like the greatest life ever, even though there is dumpster fire still in my life. I always like to make that very clear that, I think we are frozen. Are we officially frozen?
I know. I think we're back.
Are we back? Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
This is real life, guys. This is real life shit. The internet freezes.
Are you there? Pause. Back.
We're back. This is real life. Honestly, like, you guys, this is like the truth about it. Like,
seriously,
I say to people all the time, there's nothing perfect about anything that you do, especially when you start, right? Everyone thinks you have to get all your shit together. I say confidence is everything. Well, guess what? In the beginning, you just have to fucking take some action and then you're going to like gain that confidence. So confidence is a muscle. The more that you use it, the stronger it becomes. So if you've ever thought about starting a podcast and thinking you have to be perfect to do it, you're wrong.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Perfect.
You are so wrong. Do a podcast with shitty internet. I mean, let's be honest.
But. Exactly. And like neighbors building next door, but it's quiet today. So let's hold on to that one.
It's all the things, but yeah, that's what I help people do. Gain the confidence to live their life, live in their purpose, make a profit, do all the things.
So like, tell us a bit about your backstory. And then as we led up to coaching. So yeah, like how did you get here? What's your backstory?
For sure. So I'm originally from Canada, but I have lived in the United States for 20 years now. So when Britt said that she was from Vancouver, I was like, oh my God, I grew up in Edmonton, back in the day, 20 years ago. It's so sad that I'm that old, but grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, very middle-class family. My dad was in the golf industry. Just like your son, my dad played WHL hockey, grew up around hockey and golf my whole entire life. Wanted to have nothing to do with any of it. I was just in a completely different world. I was the oldest child, always worked at a golf course. I've been a worker since I was like 5 years old, like working for my dad basically. And grew up at a golf course, worked at a golf course. But when I turned 18, I graduated high school and I knew that I just didn't really want to go to university. I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I always liked working because I liked money and I liked to work. And so I was working at the golf course and I was working at the bar industry at night, had some money, went traveling for 3 months by myself through New Zealand, Fiji, Malaysia, stopover in Malaysia, really kind of found myself a little bit at 18, came home from that trip. And I took up golf because at the country clubs, I wanted to hang out with the guys after work and they all went and played golf. that's what you do at a golf course. And so I took up golf and I got really good really fast. And after that trip, I came home, I like had got my hair done for the first time. I'd probably lost a little bit of weight. You know, I was 18 years old. I was just kind of figuring myself out. But I always tell the story that two things happened when I was 18. One, I got good at golf, and two, I got good looking. And most people snicker and laugh and like, that's so funny, it's so great. But what that did at that time is I became addicted to the external validation. I became addicted to, you're so pretty, you're so talented, your life's going to be amazing. Like I had just, for the first time ever, I got some notoriety and I got some like validation. And it was a drug to me. To be honest, it was a drug to me. And so I just was like, in my head, I was like, okay, I have to be good at golf. I have to look a certain way. I have to be successful because these are the things that people like. And you know, 18, I'm not super young, but I'm still young enough to be like, okay, this is what I have to do. And so fast forward for the next 10 years, I come down to the United States. I get a golf scholarship after basically playing golf for 2 years. Like I played in my first tournament I ever played in. I won the next three. I got really good, really fast, came to college. And really during the next 10 years from 18 to like 27, 28, I was kind of a bit of a dumpster fire. I was just doing what everyone told me to do, like play golf, go on the tour, get successful. Your life is going to be amazing. You're going to make all this money. It's just, everything's going to be great. And I was really unhappy because I was doing the things that everyone told me to do to be happy. And, you know, at 27 years old, I'm like modeling, I'm making money, I'm playing golf. Like I have a great relationship with his now my husband, like, but I'm freaking miserable. Like I am not a happy person. I have a horrible eating disorder. I hate myself. It's like a daily grind and punishment. Like if I play bad golf, Christina's bad. And like, I didn't have, yeah, it was just a really, really bad situation. And so at 27 years old, I just decided that like, it was, things were not going in a very good direction. I was definitely going to lose my relationship. I may have even lost my life. I don't really know because I was that sick. Like I was mentally that sick and it was just manifesting in so many ways. And that year I just decided that like there was so many people that were had way less than I did, like had way less than I did that like, because I thought the stuff was going to make me happy. I thought the like accolades, the money, all the things was going to make me happy. And there was people that were way happier than me. And so I just decided I was going to get happy. And to me, it was, you know, mindset work, a ton of self-development, learning that like newsflash, the only person on the planet that could make Christina happy was Christina and nothing outside of herself was going to change that. And so I went on like this 10-year journey. Like, I mean, I'm 40 years old and it's constant work and progress, but for at least 2 or 3 years, I was obsessed with changing my life, obsessed. So I was like, it became a drug to me. And, you know, fast forward now 12, 13 years later, I help other people, you know, along the way, I've created a very successful business and I have what I consider like the greatest life ever because I decided every day. And so there's been a lot of things in between, but the gist of it is I was a bit of a dumpster fire and now I have a great life and that's what I help other people do.
I love that, all that backstory. And I just think, you know, it's just so relevant. I think most people could probably relate to that late teen, early 20s, like what the hell am I supposed to do? Expectations put on to you, females, like image consciousness, you know, like all that. And me now raising teenagers, I see that play out and I'm like, how can I try and make sure this changes? It's just, it's so hard, but then how far you've come and then finally really, you know, realized it's your turn and that shift, like, would you think that you're even capable of being where you are today if you didn't have all of that experience and realization going through it?
Yeah, everything happened. Like and one thing I kind of missed along that line, which was a big, big part of it, is I found my faith along the way. And so like, I wouldn't consider myself, you know, a religious person. I would consider myself a person of deep faith. Like God and I have a relationship, you know, we're tight. He knows I cuss. He knows that, you know, I'm a bit of a crazy person sometimes, but we're like, he is the main reason why I get through it. Like I do believe, you know, the three pillars of everything that I teach, whether my clients know it or not, is decision, faith, and action. Every single good thing in business and in life comes from making a true decision, having the faith that everything is happening for you and working out for you even better than you planned, and then taking a shit ton of action, which most people don't really want to do. which Britt does. She takes the action. I tell her to do something, she does the damn thing. But I don't really tell her, but, you know, we figure it out together what's the best steps for her. But, you know, like, just those three things have really just been, you know, pivotal to me. But I think, like, the main kind of focus is just, like, my faith was a huge part for me to figure out that I didn't have to do it myself. My faith is everything to me, because I did life for such a long period of time on my own, and that did not work out very well, like trying to push through and do everything myself. And to me now, the faith part is massively important, because, you know, even when it doesn't go your way, I have this unwavering belief that it's working for me in a better capacity. And every human, whether you look on the outside or not, everyone has shit that they go through. Everyone has really bad things. And, you know, for me, it's just made life easier getting through the bad things with that faith aspect.
Absolutely. And I think that, like, just what you experience and how you then use it to propel yourself forward, right? Like, using that as knowledge and tools. You can lean in so much to your coaching because of all that you've experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've done so much work on myself, and I still do to this day. You know, like, I always think that people kind of either sign up for something or invest in something, and they're like, okay, well, if I do this, everything's going to be good. And to me, I've just now kind of looked at it, and like, this is what you do really, really well. You know, like, your fitness, I wouldn't say that, like, it's something that you do. I would just say it's probably a part of you. Like, it's just who you are. It's just, that's what you do. You know, people ask me how I show up every day, or people ask me, you know, like, I definitely am not the athlete you are, but, you know, how do I work out every day? Or how do I have the faith that I have every day? Or how do I, you know, put my, like, how do I show up to my business even when it's hard? It's just part of me. I become the person who just does that. Like, you are the person who just takes care of yourself physically. That's just who you are. And I think in the beginning, before you know how to do that, I think that that's really where I leaned into. And I still do to this day, like, so much support. Like, you know, I think it's weird, especially in our space, where people sometimes have never even thought about having a coach or having an accountability coach or support or anything like that. And yet I always point out, like, the biggest, most people know sports, whether you're a big sports fan or not, but most people know every athlete on the planet has probably, you know, like, the best athletes have dozens of coaches, right?
Yeah,
like, for sure. Dozens of coaches. They have so much support. It's crazy. And so for me, I just constantly have support. I have a coach, I have a therapist, I have, you know, a trainer, I have people who help me in so many facets, because, you know, one of the things that I've learned along the way, you know, I lost my best friend at 18, and I think I didn't have the mindset that I have now, but I do think that that's been a big part of, you know, everything happens for a reason. I can look at that situation and know that, like, life is so unbelievably short. And I understand that, like, if I have people who can support me, help me go further and faster, I don't understand why every person on the planet doesn't have support and coaching and mentorship and, you know, doing things for you. Like, to me, it's like part of who I am now.
Mm-hmm. So well said. Oh my gosh. It's the accountability, the consistency that you do in and out, day in and out, that then suddenly it isn't just, like, you know, hard any longer. It is just routine. You don't just think about it. So it's getting to that point, but then always surrounding yourself with people that will push you. And whether that is a coach paid for, or, you know, a group of women that, you know, you're all striving for the next race or whatever that is, right? Always having people around you that are making you better and asking the hard questions of you.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in the United States, especially in college, people pay to be a part of sororities and fraternities and stuff like that. It's a very like, you just don't second guess it. Everyone does it. Like, I wasn't a part of one because I was a college athlete, but, like, most people who go to college are a part of, like, the Greek sorority, Greek fraternity. Anyway, it's like no brainer that they would pay for that. And it's thousands of dollars to do it. And everyone figures out how to do it. But really what you're doing there is you're paying to be around like-minded people. And now sometimes they're probably not the best people for you, but you're paying to be around a like-minded community of people. And so I often try to say that, like, there's certain things that people do all the time where they're paying to be a part of something. Years ago, when I first started my own podcast a couple of years ago, I recorded a podcast called I Pay for My Friends. And it was a very controversial thing because people are like, oh, I can't believe you say that you pay for your friends. But it's true. Like, if I want to be in a certain circle and I want to, like, put myself around a certain group of people, I never mind paying to be a part of that community. You know, my husband's something called YPO, or there's EO, there's business communities that people pay fees to be a part of. Fraternity, sorority, you pay to be a part of this because people want to be around like-minded people. And, you know, if we're talking about fitness or nutrition or mindset or whatever, you know, you are those who you surround yourself with. And so if you don't have people around you that are doing the things that you want to do or trying to hit the goals that you want to hit, then pay to be around people who are, like, to me, it's just like
pay to pay attention, right?
Yes. I always say that. This is 100%. Want to know why Brittany shows up to her call each and every single week and why Brittany does the things that she's supposed to do and why her clients do the exact same thing? Because when you pay attention. It's just human nature. We are lazy by nature. Most of us are lazy. Most of us probably don't live up to our highest potential. Well, like, I don't know what the science is behind it, but they say we use, like, what, 10% of our brain or something along those lines. Like, I have paid my trainer, who I always, like, dub as, like, my second husband. And I am not as fit as Brittany by any means. No, I'm really not. Like, I am decent. Like, I still am able to move. But I've paid Josh for, like, 6 years. Is Josh, like, this genius who comes up with a different, like, exercise routine every week? No, we've done the exact same friggin' things week in and week out. I pay the guy every damn day that I'm in town. Why? Because I know my ass hates to lift weights. I go, and you can ask Josh, he'll know, like, I bitch 75% of the time that I'm there. I don't want to be there. I hate lifting weights. I hate doing all the things, but I also know that's who I am. I am a person who wants to stay mobile for the rest of her life. I'm a person who wants to stay relatively fit. Like, I can't imagine being, you know, a 60-year-old person and still not being able to go walk for 12 hours around Europe. Like, that's just who I want to be. And so if I have to pay him for the rest of my life to keep me doing that, I'll do it, because I know that I'd let myself out of it if I don't have him. So I just want people to understand that, like, you are doing yourself a disservice if you don't have people around you that are holding you accountable to do the thing. And quit lying to yourself and saying that you're going to do it. Like, yeah, just pay someone to help you.
Totally. So what called you towards coaching then? Was there a moment in time or something that you're like, this is what I need to be doing?
You know, it's a two side to that. Number one, it's like, I knew in my soul, the minute I started to realize that, like, I was in control of my life, I could decide it was my turn. So, you know, my brand is Decide It's Your Turn. But the moment I figured out that, like, I had the power to decide it was my turn, I had the power to decide this was my life, I wanted to, like, scream it from the rooftops to everyone, because everyone who gives you an excuse of why they can't do it and where they came from and what their family situation is, what their financial situation is, it was like, I was, like, possessed, like a crazy person, to be like, no, trust me. I had all of this shit and I'm now telling you, like, you 100% can. And the only person that's keeping you stuck is you. Like, that's it. And, like, so I became so obsessed. Like, people always ask me, like, how to get clarity. And it's so easy. Like, what is the thing you could talk about all day long? What is the thing that you would do for free? And what injustice do you see in the world? That's the three ways I help people kind of get clear. And for me, it's just so clear to me. Like, I would do this all day for free. I'm obsessed with it. Like, it's what I want to do when I wake up, and it's what I want to talk about, like, to the guy on the airplane that doesn't want to even talk about it. Like, I'm obsessed, right? But, you know, the second part is I was paying people shit tons of money to learn all the things that I was learning. And I slowly but surely started to change. Like, people can tell, you know, obviously the internet is full of you know, lies and deceit and all the crap. But when you really kind of get it, you really tell when someone's like a real life, you know, good human that just like wants to do good. And I was getting a lot of people coming to me like, how do you charge the amount of money that you did? Because when I was doing my corporate golf career, which we didn't really talk about, I was making like $10,000 a day and I was marketing myself well and I was doing a really good job at it, but I was really confident and I was starting to really like myself. And people just were wondering like, okay, how did you do this? And how did you change that? And you knew when I was miserable. Like it was very clear back in the day when I was not a person who didn't like myself. You know, maybe I did a little bit, but you know, when I started to change shift, people started coming to me saying like, how did you do that? How did that? And it's the same thing with you. Like people want to know how you have the life that you have. People want to know how you hold yourself accountable. People want to know like how you've done all the things that you've done. Well, I am media was like, wait a minute, I'm paying people tens of thousands of dollars for them to teach me. Maybe I could teach someone to do this. And that's really how my business organically started. And I often find times that most people who have a quite successful business, it wasn't that they set out to be like, this is the thing that I'm going to do. It was like, it kind of just started to make sense. And just like I tell everyone else, you just have to start taking action. You know, I tell this quick little story, the guy who does my nails, he's done my nails for like 15 years. And maybe about a year ago, he said to me, he goes, Christina, how do you do all the things that you do? You know, like I've got a lot of things in the business, right? And I said to him, I said, Tommy, you've known me for 15 years. You know that when I started, it wasn't all of these things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really helpful to see that, like, had I started and thought about a podcast and a team and SEO and coaching and this and speaking engagements and social media and YouTubes and all the, there's zero fucking chance I would have started. Zero, because it's so overwhelming and I don't know what I'm doing, but like, I just had to start doing one thing to another. And now 6 years full-time into the business, now I can do all the things, but I started with one thing.
Yeah. And you're so good at saying that, like, you know, it's start today. It's nothing is going to be, or never, nothing is ever going to look perfect. Like there is no such thing as perfect. So it's just like stepping in, walking through each day, each step. You said to me, like, you don't need a website. Just like get out there. What are you waiting for? Like it's, and that's also why I have a coach, because I need someone to push me and ask those questions and get me comfortably uncomfortable. And it's in those moments that you find the confidence and you level up and you see how capable you are when you are proving to yourself that suddenly it's like, why did this take me so long?
Exactly. And so many people like literally it makes me cry like 80% of the time, because I just feel like so sad for all of the people. Like I do a free discovery call with everyone. I'll always do it. And Brittany does too. But you know, I've always done that. And I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people over the years. And I'll tell you, most of them say no. Most of them talk themselves out of it. Most of them don't commit to it. But do you understand how sad that is for me? Like I think about, you know, so many people, I can tell you stories of remembering where people really want to do something and then they don't actually do it. And I just think to myself, like the girl, the guy, I work with guys too, like the girl, the guy I talked to 5 years ago, imagine if they would have just taken one step. You guys, literally, I have created this business and I mean, successful to some, maybe not successful to others, but for me, it's very successful. And my definition of success is getting to do what I love and get paid for it. Mm-hmm. And I literally get to do what I love. I get paid really well. And I help humans. Like, oh my God, pinch me. This is so fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. But also, it wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have taken the first step. And I was scared to death, just like everyone else. Like, I thought I needed the website first. I thought I needed, you know, this, and this. But it's like, no, the thing is, you just have to start. And it's fucking incredible what can happen. I was just playing golf with a guy yesterday who at 21 years of age, I might ask him if I get to know him quite well, I might have him on the podcast, but play golf with him at 21 years of age. He dropped out. Wait,
back that up. Don't yeah. might ask him. Yeah. Like, no, you're asking
him. I'm definitely going to ask him. I want to get to know him a pinch more. He might be a huge douche. I don't know. But
then you just don't air it.
Exactly. But I was picking his ear on the golf course. But from what I had heard, he had sold his company for anywhere between 50 and 100 million. And it was a couple of years ago. And I played with him golf the first day yesterday. And I was just kind of asking him, so what do you do? And I kind of had known that he'd sold his business, but I just kind of wanted to hear about it. But I'm like, oh, so did you start that yourself? And he's like, yeah, I was 21. I took 3 semesters of college and I dropped out and I just started. And I was like, oh my God, fuck, that's amazing. And he worked in it for 30 years. And I was like, so like, and it was a janitorial service. Like, how in the world do you even think about this? Right. But so I'm like, so how did you start? He's like, I wish I could tell you, like, I wish I could sell how it was, but it was so interesting. He knows nothing about what I do and what are the pillars of everything I teach. And he goes, honest to God, he's like, I just started. I was so stupid and green that I just kept taking action. And I was like, do you think that you just had some confidence and trust in yourself? He's like, I just trusted that no matter what decision I made, I was just going to be able to make the next one. I was like, there you go, guys. 30 years later, you fucking sell your business for $100 million and you just fucking start. Like, Skippy knew nothing about it and sold his business 30 years. Yes, 30 years is a long time, but 30 years later, over 500 employees for close to $100 million. Like, people get so... like, everyone holds themselves back. Even myself and probably you, we're holding ourselves back from what we really could accomplish. You know, the greats in the world, I've always been told, and this is a very athletic thing, but when you combine work ethic with natural talent, those are the people you need to be really scared of. And that's like a Tiger, a Kobe. I always go to like the greatest athletes, a Michael Jordan, all the greatest athletes in the world. But like, it is freaking incredible what hard work and just like action and just taking action can actually do for you.
Totally. And just like now, and then you get to a point where, was I saying it to you the other day, where I'm like, oh my gosh, I just kind of feel like I should be doing right now. Like now you're like, oh, I feel a little mundane right now again. I'm like, okay, is this a sign that I'm not taking that next action? I need something that's going to make me uncomfortable again, just to like push that boundary and like, you know, experience what's on the other side so that I continue to level myself up. It kind of becomes like, you're always now looking for more and where to attain that more.
Yeah. And think about your podcast. Like when we first started working together, like I think our second call, I was like, what? You've done a podcast? I'm like, start again. Let's go. And like you've done such a great job of it. But like, I remember like my very, 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 very first podcast that I was a guest on. It was like some guy in Europe. I don't even know how the hell he found me. It was through golf or something like that. Or I did a travel video for a company. I hosted a travel video or some shit. I remember being so scared. And then I remember I've had probably 5 interviews that I've conducted that I was like shitting myself. But like the more that you do it and the more that you push yourself, like now it's just, it's like that confidence muscle. The more that you do it, the stronger it becomes. And then you have like these amazing opportunities. And if you don't do it, if you don't ask, like I've had people on my podcast that I have zero business having, like, but it was just willing to ask. I was willing to get my ass kicked. I was willing to get a no. Like I've asked people, like I've been very honest about it. I want Annika Patrick on my podcast. I've asked her, like her team, like I think 5 years in a row, I've gotten no every year, but guess what? I'm still asking, you know, and I still believe that I'm going to get it at some point in time. She's starting to golf, but you know, and maybe it won't work or maybe it will, but like, I'm just willing to get a no. I'm just willing. But I think that comes from, I don't think, I know that comes from showing up so consistently and just doing the thing over and over and over and realizing that like no's or bad Wi-Fi or, you know, what someone has to say about you, it really isn't have anything to do with you. It's like, you just have to keep going. You know, that's the one thing that I see so many times with people. Like I've worked with hundreds of people over the years and, you know, you'll have, even if I'm working with them, you'll have those people that you work with for 6 months or a year or whatever, and then they'll quit because, you know, it got hard or someone said something or, you know, they were afraid of the money or whatever it is. And it's like, it's so sad to me. Like, that's the saddest part. It's like, you never know what's around the next door. You never know what's I always say one touch of God's favor can change everything, but if you quit, you'll never know what that touch, when that touch is coming.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, I really like that. It's also that fear, you know, everyone, the word empower, the saying imposter syndrome, right? And I have been really like working at redefining that as to more being like, well, all that is that you're new at something. And we're all new at something, like every day if we're pushing our comfort zones, but we're all new at something at one point, and we get better as we flex that muscle and push and push and push. But like, don't let that fear of imposter syndrome hold you from exploring and diving into all that you know you are capable of, because we're all capable of more. It's just how comfortable are you with getting uncomfortable?
Absolutely. 100%. Like, you know, you're not an imposter teaching me how to be a triathlete. I've never done it before, but maybe to the girl that's like, you know, three steps ahead of you, you could probably feel that. But at any moment in time, like, you can be that person for someone. And we're all, like you said, we're all like, quote unquote, yeah, imposters. I always say, like, are you lying? Like, I always, you know, integrity is like one of my main core values. And it's like, how am I being an imposter if I'm not lying? I can be in the beginning. I can say, like, I'm in the beginning. Like, I've never done triathletes, or I've never done podcasting, or I've never done whatever, cooking classes, whatever it is. But like, I can be in the beginning, but am I being an imposter if I'm pretending like I'm a freaking, you know, world-class athlete and never done it before? That might be, but you're just starting. Like, you're just doing something. Oprah was an imposter at one point in time. You know, she was starting.
Yeah, totally. Okay. I have a few more questions. So
yeah, I've got all like, hour. I'm excited.
Is there an experience in your coaching thus far that's like really stuck with you? So like, whether it's something that's maybe forever changed, or someone that you interviewed on your podcast or in your coaching that is like, okay, wow, that's just like liquid gold, or that hit me and I will never forget that person.
Oh my God, that's so good. You know, there's been so many people over the years. I'm super grateful. You know, I think the interviews that I like the most are the ones that like, I know the people for sure. Like, those are the ones that hit my core. There's people that I've respected along the way that I never really thought that I would, like their journeys and their stories. That's a really fantastic question. I've never been asked that before. I wish I could go back over all of my podcasts in my head.
And even if it's like in a coaching client, like, so, you know, anything that's just,
you know, changed, there's a woman that I met at, her name is Kat Golden. She's been on my podcast before. She started a company called Nurses Inspire Nurses. And, you know, she and I joined a mastermind probably about 5 years ago together. And she was kind of at the beginning stage. I was kind of at the beginning stage. And I've always respected her because she has beat to her own drum no matter what. She's always like, you mean God himself could come down and tell her to do something, but if it's outside of what she believes is true and right for her, she's probably going to do the thing that is true and right for her. And, you know, like Sarah Blakely could tell her what to do. And if she doesn't trust that, like, she's just so good at trusting herself. And she created, you know, this multi-million dollar company that she's now selling, and she's reinventing herself to do something different. So I'm really always inspired by people who are willing to do something that's so different, but trusting themselves, like, just so unbelievably inspired by that type of person. You know, over the years, I've had clients who have, you know, come to me. I think the people that I really, you know, everyone wants you to point out the people who have like kicked ass and made all this money. Yeah. But I think it's the people who I have worked with who have like figured out how to love themselves, how to like themselves, how to trust themselves, how to find peace in themselves. Those are the ones that I always like, along the journey, I'm always inspired by those type of people, because I feel like that's the biggest part. I think, you know, everyone wants to buy into the thing that's going to create a strong ROI. But I think what most people forget is the strong ROI comes from, you know, trusting yourself, liking yourself, being able to listen to yourself. You know, just like I explained with Kat, you know, Kat just has this unbelievable, unwavering sense of being able to trust herself no matter what. Like, the whole world could be going left. And she, if she feels she needs to go right, she'd go right. And I find that extremely inspiring, to be honest with you. But yeah, I feel like Kat Golden was a really good one. Jordan Lee Dooley, she was on the podcast. She was really good. She is a woman who started her Etsy store in college, has made millions, written so many books, but her real story right now is, you know, she's a woman of faith for sure. And she's dealt with, even though I don't have children, never have had the desire to have children. I always tell people that I've chosen not to have children. It's not been something, because I know a lot of people struggle with it, but she struggled with it for years. And just her story of, like, you know, kind of going through all of that, I've always watched it with such inspiration because she's handled it so well. I think she's been a really good one. But yeah, that's a fantastic question. But I think it always comes back to, like, the person who can trust themselves and really go all in on themselves.
Yeah, I like that. And yeah, it is. It's in those, like, moments or those small conversations sometimes that you don't actually think you're going to take much from it. And then suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, that was so much better than I ever anticipated.
Totally.
So lastly, your podcast. Yes. So tell us about your podcast and, like, where was that kind of an extension from the coaching, or, like, where did you decide to lean in and decide it was your turn to be on this broadcasting?
Yeah. You know, I started the podcast in February of 2021. It's okay. 2021. Yeah. 2021. Yeah. So it's only been two and a little bit of years. I knew that I always wanted to do it, but I feel like one of the things that, like, I help and talk with clients is, I think you really have to create strong foundations. I always talk about, you have to create a strong foundation to go up really strong, as opposed to getting too broad. And I feel like it could have been great to do, you know, do the podcast, do the YouTube, do this, do that all in the beginning. But I think I was still in the stages, like, you're probably year two is really when I started to make actual good money in the business. And then year three, when I was finally like, okay, I feel like I have a strong foundation. I kind of know what I'm doing. We've got a good team. There's a good, you know, cash flow and all the things. That's when I felt like I could really, like, most people don't realize, unless you're doing it yourself, a podcast costs a lot of money to actually produce a podcast. And it takes a ton of time. And, like, if you want a podcast to be successful, you need to do it consistently. And I still only do one podcast a week, but I just knew it was something that I wanted to do. And it was, you know, obviously, like, I'm more of a speaker than I am a writer. So I'd much rather talk. Plus, I also think podcast is one of the coolest things ever, because you get to, you know, learn from cool people around the world. And a lot of people love being on podcasts and getting their message out there. But it's a good source of, for business, you know, like, the more people I can speak with, the more opportunities I have to get my message out there and inspire people and then people to work with me. But for me, it was just, like, such a cool venue to be able to connect with cool people from around the world. Like, I interviewed a guy one time who was, he's a sports gambler who almost went to prison. And the reason why I asked him on the podcast, and I got so much hate, like, I literally had to change my phone. Like, no, I didn't change my phone number, but I took, like, still to this day, I actually do not have my name on my voicemail because people found my number. And I didn't have this guy on my podcast because he's a sports gambler. I had him on my podcast of the way that he marketed himself online. So he basically, like, was a huge sports gambler. Vegas accused him of cheating. He got accused from it. But one of his, like, things was he's never allowed to gamble again. So he flipped the table and he started, because he was one of the best sports gamblers. So now he sells sports betting picks. And, but I had him on the podcast because I've always watched the way he marketed himself online on the social space. And it's genius. Like, if you really watch it, it's genius. I always pay attention to, like, behind the thing. Like, most people, like, you know, when you're in the yeah. business, you can kind of see it. And the way that he does it, it was brilliant. So I reached out to him and I had him on the podcast. And then we ended up talking about his relationship because, you know, he was dating this, like, it was just a very, like, you know, drama type of situation.
Yeah.
But I had him on the podcast. So, like, that's kind of cool. Like, how do you, you know, connect with someone like that? And then I've had amazing authors on the podcast. I've had clients. I think the cool part about it is I've allowed clients to tell their stories on the podcast, which I think is really fun to be able to do. And I just think that for me, it was just a great vehicle to be able to kind of get my story out there. And then also to just interview really fucking cool people. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, there's so many podcasts out there. And I think that that's what holds a lot of people back from doing their podcasts. But there is someone out there that needs to hear your voice. You know, if Brittany and I were saying the exact same thing, there's some people that are going to resonate with her and some people who are going to resonate with me. You know, I've always used the example that, like, if you want to do something, and just because Oprah was doing it doesn't mean that you can't do it. Like, someone is going to resonate with you more than they will resonate with Oprah. And I know that sometimes that's a hard thing to believe, but it's so true. Like, if you truly believe you need to do something, like whether it's the podcast or the coaching or the starting the business or writing the book or whatever it is, like, you have to do it. Like, you just have to. No one's going to get to the end of their life and be like, damn, I wish I hadn't have done that. It's like, no, I wish I'd done all the things.
And I think too, like, recognize and realize that, like, these things are being called to you for you. So you are supposed to follow this for yourself. That is where I think that you get your greatest learning, your greatest passion. You know, you're fueled by what you do. And I feel so fueled and fortunate by what I'm following too, because it's like, it feels so genuine. I'm so passionate about it. And so when if you're fueled to write a book, well, you have to write your story. That's for you. And hopefully coming out of it, maybe if your goal ends up being monetary in the end for that, that's separate. But you have that mindset that you're wanting to do something. Don't mute that.
Amen. 100%. Like, you couldn't have said it any better. You have to do it, because there's always going to be that like, what if part of you, right? And again, I think it goes back to, like, so many people stop themselves from doing the thing because they're thinking 8 steps ahead or 800 steps ahead instead of just thinking about the next step. Like, when you and I came to the conclusion, let's do the podcast, even my podcast, you know, I started thinking about all the things. Well, if I would have thought about, like, now what we do with the podcast, which is like YouTube and graphics and SEO and putting it on the website and all the fucking things that we do, oh my God, I would have never have done it. It would have felt so overwhelming. But if the first thing I had to do was be like, okay, I'm starting a podcast. What's step one? Order a mic. What's step two? Figure out how to record it. What's step three? Like, you know what I mean? Like, go through the little tiny steps, and like, that's just how just everyone start. Does everything.
You just can put start. It on your phone. Like, just start. Yes. Half the time I'm trying to, like, record it in my car so that it, like, at least I get it right. And yes. I think that that's, like, the other side too. And we've had this conversation being, like, for me, being a mom and, like, stepping, you know, out of what my life maybe would have looked like, obviously, to have, like, to have our kids, to raise our kids. I feel so fortunate to be able to do that. But also, it doesn't mean that that is the only thing that fuels me and the only thing that is important to my life. So being able to, like, make the time for what I also want and what fuels me will also make me a better mom and show up for everyone in my life better if I feel purpose for what I am here doing.
100%. Every mom that listens to this podcast, now I'm going to say, Britt, your audience is probably a lot of moms. As a non-mother, I want you to hear this from me. As a non-mother, I do not understand what y'all do. But what I do have much better perspective on than y'all do is the fact that you are a much better mom and you are showing your kids. This is what the main part is. I want every mom to hear this. You are inspiring your kids to do better for themselves when you do better for yourself. Mm-hmm. A long time ago, a girlfriend of mine said, habits are caught, not taught. And if you are a mom who's teaching their kid, especially their daughters, to, like, take care of themselves and, you know, do all the things, and you aren't doing it, you are showing them what they are going to probably end up doing. It is your responsibility to take care of yourself. You don't have to go to every single game. You don't have to cook every single meal. You don't have to be with them 24 hours a day. If it means taking care of yourself, because then you're better for them when you're with them. you know, especially little kids. Like little kids actually don't need you. Like, no, I'm not talking little, but like, you know, the ones that like can't take bed for themselves. But like, if you are dedicating like 30 solid minutes off your phone with your kid, they're probably enough. Then they're going to go fuck off and do something else. Like, so you can take that time to do something for yourself. A lot of people like overextend themselves and try to do all the things instead of doing like one or two things really well. Take care of yourself really well, and you'll have a much better chance of taking care of your family much better. And trust me, I may not be a mom, but I get the perspective of all you crazy moms trying to do all the things. Be kind to yourself, ladies.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Well, you know, thank you to this Canadian, expat, y'all. I just want to say y'all. I really think that that should be in my vocabulary.
I'm telling you, y'all is the best word ever. Do not dog it. I used to dog it way before I became
I don't dog it. I actually want to say it, but I think like in Vancouver, if I walk around saying y'all, there would be a bit of an issue.
Oh my God, they love it. But they honestly, when my husband used to come home to Canada, like everyone was like, oh my God, are you from Australia? He thinks he walks around with a chip on his shoulder up there because everyone thinks he's just like perfect. My cousins at my wedding were like, for my mother-in-law, they're like, make her speak. They just wanted to hear her talk. She's like Paula Deen, you know, like that's what she's But
amazing.
I'm telling you, the Southern accent is unbelievable. My husband thinks he's hot shit when he comes up there because it is a great accent. But I can say y'all and a in the same sentence. I am just, you know, a unicorn like that.
You're flexing. I am. I really am. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you. This was such a fun conversation. So where can everyone find you to work with you, to listen to your podcast, all the things?
Oh my gosh. B Christina, B-E-C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. Be Christina, because I encourage everyone to be themselves, live authentically as themselves, and always decide it's your turn. The podcast is the Decide It's Your Turn podcast.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today. As a mom of three, an endurance sport junkie, and an accountability coach, I get what overwhelm and feelings of high expectation can feel like. By getting crystal clear on tangible goals, I will work with you to create personalized action steps with unwavering accountability to ensure you hit your goals. If this sounds like something you're interested in, reach out to me at MomSweatSanity on Instagram or MomSweatSanity.com for your free exploration call. Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it. See you next week. You can find me on Instagram at MomSweatSanity.